Hello, everybody, and welcome to Build, Lead, Succeed, the official podcast of the National Association of Women in Construction. Angela Hyland here, and I want to share with you an exciting piece of news. Labor shortages aside, the future of construction is going to be okay, because our young generations have it under control. No, really, I'm being 100% serious right now. I have seen more and more young people showing up on the job site at entry-level and apprenticeship positions. Administratively, I'm surrounded by emerging professionals who are on their game. Well, today, I'm sitting down with one such professional who from a young age entered the world of construction and through opportunity and hard work has turned that into a passionate career in the mechanical trades. A handful of years later, she is now the Vice President of Estimating and Purchasing for Bond Mechanical out of New York. Incredible. So sit back and enjoy. I'll be back after the interview. Well, welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined by Stacy Dillon, who is the Vice President of Estimating and Purchasing for Bond Mechanical Construction, Inc., operating out of New York City. Welcome, Stacy.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're really glad you're here. I want to just jump right in because you have a really unique story. And so let's just get started with your background and your story in construction, basically. Tell us a little bit about that and also where you work and what you do there.
My name is Stacy Dillon. I am from Northern Ireland, which is very far from New York, too far over the last few years with COVID and no flight. I lived in Belfast. I attended Queen's University, Belfast. I studied architecture with structural engineering. In my second year, I was lucky to be picked for a opportunity to come intern in America. I came to intern with Project Children, and they originally had placed me with the architecture office in New Jersey. But unfortunately, right before I was coming here, they went out of business. And so I was relocated in an emergency to another company that was kind of a change in direction for me. It was a mechanical construction company on a water treatment plant. And they kind of said, you know, it's so last minute. We can't really get you into, you know, architecture at this point. But we have this plan B, which is mechanical. And I ended up coming here for the summer, interning with a mechanical construction company and really just falling in love, I think, with the process of mechanical, how interesting it was. You know, I did architecture, structural engineering before, and I enjoyed it. I felt like I was good at it. Something was missing. When I came to New York and I worked at Croton, something just clicked for me. I was incredibly interested in the processes of mechanical and the work we were doing there. Not so much New York. Took me a little longer to, you know, New York was so large and took me a little longer to get, you know, falling in love with New York. But it definitely, the work, the process, the construction, and that's how I ended up here. At the end of the summer, I was offered a place. Here I finished my university and I came back for another internship and just to make sure and that was me. So right now I've been working in mechanical construction really since I came here in 2009. I had the pleasure of working and being mentored by a lot of the leading mechanical construction professionals in New York, New Jersey, and also Connecticut over the last 10, 15 years. And I am now currently at Bond Mechanical Construction. Very excited. Bond Mechanical is a subsidiary of the Bond Brothers company. So we are the newest member, I guess, of the family. So Bond has been in business since 1907. A very nice family-oriented company. We currently self-perform a lot of the mechanical construction in water, wastewater, power generation, that sort of thing.
So you know, what's the best part about these podcasts is you get a chance to just like talk, and you know, your story is powerful and you've done a lot so far. And sometimes just, you know, you do lots of things and there's a lot of things to say. So you're doing great. Well, let me ask you, so how did you get into architecture to begin with? Was that something that you had always wanted to get involved in? How did you get inspired to go that route in the beginning?
So for me, in school, I was always very good at like mathematics, sciences, and arts, which was a strange mix, I think. You know, usually people are like kind of artsy and that sort of thing, or they are, you know, mathematical. They're usually not both. So at the time, I was very much interested in pursuing both. And so architecture was really a good fit for me, where I could, you know, design and draw and sketch buildings and things like that, and then be able to, you know, use the mathematics and sciences to do calculations in order to make those buildings stand and engineer them behind the scenes. So it was a really nice fit for me to be able to use kind of the artsy side and then the mathematical side.
Yeah, when they approached you about the mechanical side, were you nervous about that? Were you excited about that? Because that's a pretty decent shift from one specialty to another specialty.
It was a lot. So I think at the time, you know, it was a few days before I came here. It was very fast. And they had said, you know, you can go for maybe the first week, see how it is. And if it's just not a good fit, you know, you don't have to do the whole summer. So I think because they offered this kind of, you know, out for me, not out, but this plan B, I kind of just went with it. But it was definitely daunting. Go into the project because I knew nothing about it and I had no time to kind of prepare or research where I was going. It was just you know, go to New York and the next day you're on site. So it was definitely a lot. It kept me on my toes for sure.
I bet. So how many years did you do architecture before you came over here?
I was at university 2 years. So I did it for 2 years at university when I first came. So I was 20. I was 20 when I came here on site. So it was a very interesting summer. Definitely was very interesting.
I bet. And that 20 years old. Wow, that's amazing to make that kind of a move. You know, away from your home and into a whole new industry and a whole new different culture as well. I bet that was a bit of culture shock.
Yeah, definitely. The program was really interesting because it brought interns out here and it placed them with an American family. So you had to live and stay with an American family and then go to work at this work experience. So it was definitely an interesting insight into kind of American life and that sort of thing.
When did you know that this was what you wanted to do? Was it just a click? You just knew? Was it something, maybe somebody in your family did it prior to you? How did you know?
I think experience. As soon as I came to New York and I was working on the project, you know, both previous I had worked, I did pretty well. I had some work experience in architecture at an architect's office. I enjoyed it. It just something seemed missing. When I came to New York, I was put into the drafting department, first of all. And I was able to do a lot of the drawings and then distribute them about the site and see some of the processes, you know, some of the piping and the equipment that I was drafting was then being distributed on site and then being built in real life, in real time. So it was a really interesting, fast-paced experience where I could, you know, a lot of the times when you're a student or when you're in architecture, it's, you know, you draw something, you design something, and it takes, you know, years to be built. But for me to be a part of this project, we were able to be on the on-site drafting team, and we were able to, you know, make changes to drawings and then have them be built within days, weeks of doing it. So it was a very fast-paced project, very interesting project. It was one of the biggest, at the time, largest water treatment plants in America. So the technologies used within the plant itself were, you know, groundbreaking at the time. And it was definitely just a very exciting experience, and really just made me reevaluate what my goals were in life and what I was interested in and what the kind of work I wanted to do. I'm from a very small country, and I remember at the time, you know, New York for me, for my country, has around 1.8 million people. To be in New York City with, you know, over 8 million people and seeing that, you know, it's so much larger, just this one city, than the country I'm in. And then to be able to work on a water treatment plant, you know, Croton Water Treatment Plant makes 290 million gallons of water. And my country only needs 148 per day. So to see that, you know, this one project made 100 million gallons a day more water than my entire country would need was just, for me, what kind of like hooked me. I realized that, you know, I never really wanted to leave home or my country. I loved it very much. I never seen myself living somewhere else. When I came here and I realized that the types of projects that exist in America, and specifically New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, you know, we would never have the need for those at home. And I would never have the ability to work on those projects. And I think that's what really got me into moving here and to working in the mechanical construction industry.
Mm. So I'm always curious because I've traveled a little bit overseas. And of course, when you're in construction, you're always looking at construction projects whenever you go somewhere different. And there's some different techniques and some different technologies that they use in different countries. What are the differences that you have seen, whether in architecture or mechanical, between the U.S.? Do you see any major differences, different technologies that we're using, even some different building processes? Do you see any differences there?
Yeah, I definitely do. Some similarities, some differences. I think the most difficult thing for me coming from Northern Ireland to here was just how everything's measured. It sounds so silly, but you know, we have centimeters, millimeters. Over here, it's all feet and inches. So every, you know, when I first worked on a drawing, I remember being in a room within a building, and them asking me to, you know, put the door in to the drawing, and I had to think, you know, okay, so in where I'm from, it would be, you know, centimeters, meters. Here it's more like feet and inches, so I'd have to like keep converting that in my head. So it did take me quite a long time to like do the conversion and then naturally not have to do it anymore. And it's interesting, every now and again we will, in estimating, we'll, at Bond Mechanical, we'll get a set of drawings or a project to estimate from a European engineer. In the model or something will be in, you know, meters, centimeters, and the team will just kind of look at me and I'll be like, yeah, I'll help, right? It's naturally to me. Yeah. Got it. I can centimeter, yeah, meters. Okay. Yeah, I got that. So it's funny because it definitely took away reading drawings to go, hi, it sounds silly now to say a foot, but now it's natural, you know, how yeah. big's a foot, how big's an inch, you know.
Yeah, it's like a second language. You just get used to it over time, and you just, the calculations automatically go off in your head, I would imagine.
Oh, definitely. Now it's different, but back then, yeah, I struggled. I remember I worked for the drafting manager, and he purchased me a special ruler that converted a steel ruler so that I wouldn't get mixed up. So definitely, it was definitely a fun few years at the start.
Very nice. So, as a woman in constructions, talk a little bit about that. Over in Ireland, are there a lot of women in construction? Do you see women not only, in the architecture field, but also out in the trades and on job sites?
I would say it's probably in proportion to here.
Yeah.
It's definitely in proportion to here. I think, in some of the engineering architecture, you'll see a higher quantity, or a higher percentage of women to men. I think when it gets to mechanical fields and specialized engineering fields, definitely less and less. Yeah. So it's probably about something similar to here.
And so you've been able to work, you've gone up the chain. I mean, now you're a vice president. Tell me a little bit about that journey. That's a nice position to hold for a mechanical company.
Yes,
Yeah.
it's definitely a lot of work and a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I started estimating. I started in the field in projects, and then I went into estimating, and then it just kind of snowballed. I was asked to, lead an estimate for the company, and then I was asked to lead a team, and then it just kind of built from there. And we were lucky enough together to be successful in those estimates and within those teams, and it just kind of grew and grew. And I've been able just to take on more responsibility and really just been a great experience for me.
Yeah, because not only do you do the estimating, but you're doing the purchasing as well, which is that's a whole job responsibility on its own. So,
Yeah, it definitely is. Yes, it's interesting because a lot of people go, oh, okay, how does that work? Because a lot of times you estimate a project and the field picks it up and runs with it, and there's that separation. What is kind of nice and more responsibility is myself and my team, we estimate a project through contract and through award. We kind of set the project up for the field, and we purchase any large pieces of equipment and material that the field needs. And then kind of just turn that over. We work with the team and turn that over. It really just helps us in estimating. It helps us a better understanding, gives us a better understanding of, how to estimate what we need for projects, what things currently cost, all of that. And it also helps the projects out. A lot of the times a project team can be very focused on the current week ahead or weeks ahead rather than the larger. So yeah, it's definitely an experience. And it's definitely been very rewarding to Dia.
I like that because I've been 18 years in construction, and I used to own my own subcontracting company. And the processes, I was always trying to focus on processes that were going to streamline from beginning to end. And I like that the estimating department is purchasing the materials because they know what they intended. It does help them stay connected to what the real cost is, and not just this guesstimate. Sometimes you end up with that, and I think it does help the project management team. Makes for a smoother transition because then there's not any guesswork. It takes all of that out of it.
Yeah, it definitely helps set up the projects for success. Sometimes, there can be this gap between the project being estimated and awarded and then the project manager taking over. So it definitely bridges that gap if there is a time difference in that. It also, it helps the project team and the estimators coordinate with each other and learn from each other. You know, obviously everything that's purchased is purchased with the, you know, the PM on board, the project manager and or the project team at the time. So it encourages this coordination and also this buy-in from everyone to make sure you're on the same page. It also helps with cost control. It also helps for the estimators to have more leverage when it comes to estimating projects and getting pricing. You know, I think the industry a lot of the times, you know, give pricing to estimators and then give actual prices to the people buying or the project managers buying. So it just allows a better flow of pricing and understanding of equipment and materials throughout both the estimating and the project team. And it also polices it a little bit, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Given free
rein. Yeah, that's what I like about it. I've got a good friend that's she's an estimator, mostly with concrete, and they're always trying to address a lot of these processes to make things run a little bit better. So I like that a lot. I'm going to actually bring that up with her tomorrow. I think it's pretty smart. Yeah. What kind of projects are you working on right now?
So we are currently working on a few projects right now. We are mostly in New York at the minute, in New Jersey. We are only 1 year established. So we just became a mechanical construction company under the Baum Brothers brand a year ago. So we've just reached our 1 year anniversary. So we are very excited about the next few years in building and growing and kind of competing with our subsidiary sisters and brothers, I guess. You know, Bond has been around for a very long time, since 1907. So they've always, right now, Bond Building, Bond Civil Utility are a very established company. So us at Bond Mechanical are hoping to grow, you know, within the next few years to meet the success and kind of the size of our other subsidiaries. So it's a very exciting time at Bond for us.
How many people are on your team?
So currently right now I have 4 people on my team.
Wow. So, you know, coming up, being so young, getting started, and then these years that you've been here and, you know, you've been growing into this position and now with into this leadership position, how have you found that experience to be from a leadership perspective? Also, you know, because you're you came from a different country. So, you know, there's a lot of, some people don't always know how to accept people that aren't from here. How have you found that experience to be? And tell me a little bit about your leadership.
Yeah, I think, you know, depending on the period of time and the role, I've kind of managed up to 12 people before. I think when you are on your own and you're doing work, you can kind of concentrate on the work itself. You can kind of just focus, work hard, work as much as you need to get the job done and to be successful. I think management can be really very difficult because depending on the amount of people, again, I've managed up to 12 people, and each person, you know, have a different work style, are at a different place in their life, personal and professional. So you're always trying to kind of get the job done and whatever the task is, but you're also trying to, you know, help each person grow and expand and kind of be the best professional version of themselves and also have job satisfaction. So it's definitely one of the more difficult sides. I think a lot of managers, you know, see, oh, you know, I just tell people what to do all day. But long term, and in order to have like a successful team, you definitely have to manage each person to their kind of personality and their traits and their goals and what's going on, and what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another. So it can be very difficult to manage. I think it's one of the more difficult things, but also really rewarding, you know, to have a junior estimator or someone junior in your team, you know, reach those milestones and those goals they've set, and, you know, seeing them grow and expand and kind of move up the ladder is one of the most rewarding things. So definitely a double-edged sword of reward and hard work and stress.
Yeah, it can be. Did you find that it came naturally to you? Did you have to take some, you know, a lot of times when people are getting promoted, the upper, you know, the upper echelons of management, they, you know, bring in training so that, you know how to deal with people. Did you have to do that? Or did you feel like it was just natural for you to lead people?
I think a little bit of both. I think I've always naturally kind of taken charge. Maybe people call it bossy. I can't help it. But also, yes, a lot of management, a lot of mentorship training, a lot of seminars and books and things like that. I have been, you know, pushed by a lot of my mentors and my current, you know, boss into like societies, you know, like MCAA. We're a part of the Mechanical Contractors Association in America in New York, the BTEA here in New York. You know, I'm a member of the Minority and Women Business Council. I think having, you know, a lot of the resources from a lot of those organizations in training and things like that have really helped me a lot and kind of pushed me to be at the level of my peers, really. So I think that's been a big part of me being able to kind of get where I am at the minute.
Yeah, I think these associations, there's, you know, quite a few of them out there for construction. And I think that's one of the best things about them. You know, they, of course, a lot of people are going there to network and maybe do business, but I think that support network that you get and the educational opportunities, professional development, and especially the mentoring, that's huge. Because, you know, you're able to meet with people that are like-minded and, you know, it's just, I think it makes the biggest difference. I really do. There's a NAWIC chapter up in New York City too. I think that's going pretty strong. So if you need another thing to join, you could always go do that.
Definitely. Definitely. A lot of value.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, I have some, Bond has a Bond Women in Construction Committee and a Bond Women in Construction Group. So that's been pretty interesting to be involved with. And some of the members of the committee are part of the Boston chapter. So we are going to try to participate in the New York chapter a little more in the next year or so. But for now, we are represented in the Boston chapter. So it's been very interesting internally, you know, to be able to be on this committee, a part of this Women in Construction Committee. Internally to Bond across the different subsidiaries and really just promote education and training and networking and support internally has been, you know, a really big deal for us and I think a real positive for all the women at Bond. So that is definitely something that we're continuing to work with and work on and grow. And obviously various different age groups and backgrounds and also departments within Bond Company itself. So it's definitely been a very big positive for me.
That's good. So what's next for you? What do you see for yourself in this next 5 to 10 years? Where are you going to be?
So for me, I definitely. Just expansion and growth. I think for me, this role is new to me. I was in management for me, what was a long time. I think for me, the next 5 years, it's a very exciting place to be in, to be within Ball Mechanical. We are very interested in growing in the, you know, power generation, commercial HVAC, oil and gas, water, wastewater, and industrial market. I think for me, what's really interesting in power generation is like seeing the shift into, you know, renewable energies, hydrogen, all those sorts of technologies. And it's going to be very interesting over the next 5, 10, 20 years to see, you know, how the mechanical construction develops and grows and changes to accompany kind of what's happening in the world and what's happening with renewable energy. So definitely exciting time to be learning and growing and developing technologies.
Absolutely. I think that's pretty cool. You're going to get to see a lot of change because there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it seems like it's changing all the time, and there's always new renewable things on the horizon. And so it will be exciting for you. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, because I think that you have such an interesting story. I love that you just don't hear about people starting so young in the industry and jumping in. So I think it's the opportunities that it presented to you, and you just latched on, and you're doing great. And I'm grateful that you joined us today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like I have been equally working hard, very lucky to be a part of the Bond team. You know, we definitely have the ability to offer great services to our clients. You know, in-house, we have Bond Building, Bond Civil Utility, Bond Mechanical. So we are one of the only, if not the only, up and down the coast to be able to provide all of these services in-house. So it's definitely been a really great opportunity for me working with a team that thinks about all these different areas and not just mechanical. So I am very excited for the future, for my future at Bond.
Yeah, and to be part of something that's just really just getting started and growing, and yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, Bond has been, you know, we offer a lot of great services to the market. We definitely do, and we always, you know, think safety, quality, efficiency, integrity. It's really nice to be a part of a team that really puts the clients first and the work first, and, you know, be a part of the team that's all about making the most successful project rather than the most money. And it's definitely a company, you know, I see my future at. And I have a long future being on the younger end. So for me, working for Bond Mechanical and Bond in general has meant, you know, kind of pledging my career and my future. So I am very excited about all the different possibilities and work that we'll be doing in the future.
Yeah, you're a VP now. There's no telling. I mean, my gosh, very exciting.
Yeah, definitely growth, expansion, clients, that sort of thing. Definitely, definitely for us. But it's been an interesting story so far, and it feels longer than it's been. Probably all the work, you know.
Well, I'll be keeping my eye on you. I'd like to stay connected, because I'd love to see how your journey keeps going. Thank you again for joining us. It was a real pleasure getting to know you and your story. Thank you.
Thank you.
You see, it's going to be all right. What's really encouraging is that there are many organizations and corporations putting a lot of efforts and resources behind the scenes to help young people find a path in this industry. And not to mention the mentors out there in the field that are helping the young people get hands-on training on a daily basis. I am hopeful, so let's keep it up. Again, a big thank you to Stacy Dillon for the inspirational conversation today. I'd also like to thank our sponsor and partner, TouchPlan. TouchPlan is a leading construction planning software that makes project outcomes more predictable and profitable. It delivers approachable, progressive job site data and analytic solutions that transform construction into a more collaborative, transparent, and predictable process. TouchPlan is committed to the belief that learning from data is the key to rapid recovery from project variances and improving project certainty. As always, thank you to the listeners. If you've got a topic you'd like to hear about, please email me at podcast@nawick.org. I'm always open to new conversations, so feel free to connect with me professionally on LinkedIn as well. Well, that's all for now, but just remember, we are just getting started.